And he would sprinkle that incense on the altar of incense, reminding the people that as the aroma went up from the altar of incense, that it was God who provided bread for the Israelites in the wilderness, and it was God who took care of them.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany. Thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the Tabernacle, Table of Showbread, from our series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Tabernacle, Table of Showbread.
As one of the saints of old put it, that in each heart is an empty space that only God can fulfill. That in your heart, in my heart, is an empty space that only God can fulfill. And when we eat of the wonder bread, that Jesus comes in and he fills that spot and he satisfies our appetite. And that's why people in the world that don't know Christ, that continue to deal with that empty spot in their life, that they continue to go and see how they can satisfy it through drugs, through relationships, through education, through all type of synthetic means, they try to fulfill it. But if you've come and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he steps into that empty place and he becomes your bread of life. Just like the bread back in the table of showbread in the tabernacle, that Jesus is the bread of life. But notice that he not only says that he was the bread, but he says that he is the bread who gives eternal life. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live. He shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Every one of those individuals that ate the bread and the manna, they had one thing in common, and that was they all died. They ate the manna that fell down, the manna that fell from heaven. They ate it. It nourished them. It sustained them. But the fact of the matter is that they all checked out of this life. Jesus said that whoever eats this bread will live forever, that you're not going to die. We can sing the words of that song, fame, I'm going to live forever. Fame, I'm going to live forever. In eternity, I'm going to be with God. That the blessed thing about this memorial service that we're going to have is that most of these saints, when they closed their eyes in death, they woke up in the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, just think about that. Pleasures that we can't even begin to think about. Pleasures that I'm having a little problem with this microphone in my ear. Might have to go to the handheld, right? See, Jesus takes care of all that kind of stuff. Right? But, you know, just think about it. Pleasures forevermore. Pleasures that we can't begin to imagine. I often give this illustration. When my kids were growing up, they loved going to Kennywood. And they would wake up at 5:30 in the morning on their school picnic because they were excited about going to Kennywood. And I said, go back to sleep. Y'all are getting up too early here. And so, you know, we would get ready, and they would all be excited and about going to Kennywood. And I remember that we would be driving, and they would be talking, and I'm going to ride this, I'm going to ride that, I'm going to ride this, I'm going to ride that. And as they talked about riding the different rides, I'm going to have to change up this mic. So let me, I'm going to do it like this. This work? Yeah. All right, okay. All right, we'll do it like this. But as I would drive across the Rankin Bridge, and they would see different rides, and they would say, look, I see that, I see that. And then we would drive up in the parking lot, and they couldn't wait to get out of the car. And then they would get in the car and go into the park, and man, they would just begin to look around and be overwhelmed by all the rides that were there. You should have seen the joy and delight on their face. The Bible says that in God's presence is fullness of joy. Can you imagine what it's going to be like forever and ever and ever to be in delight and to be in joy? The Bible says that the table of showbread was the bread that was before the face of God. It was before the presence of the Lord. And so we see that throughout eternity that we will be able to enjoy being in the presence of God. You know, again, you know, I think about, amen, amen. I think about our loved ones that have gone on before us. And you know, one of the hardest things to do, and I know we live in a day and time when more and more people are starting to get cremated, but one of the hardest things sometime for years was to go to the cemetery and do the committal service, especially if it was on like a cold day, you know, I mean, a cold, dreary day. And what's generally your thought is that, man, my loved one is going into the ground on this cold day, right? And that's sometimes the impression that we walk away from there with. But let me tell you here that your loved one is not in there. You know, y'all heard me say it before, the tombstone on the epitaph of a man in England, beneath these clouds and beneath these trees lies the body of Solomon Pease. This is not Pease, it's only his pod. Pease has been shelled out and gone home to God. And so we see that when our loved one dies, that they are in the presence of God for eternity. And why is that? Because Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and he who eats this bread shall never die. And you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, when we say eternal life, everybody has eternal life. Now, there are some groups, some religions that will tell you, you know, I remember me and my brother, we went to my uncle. My uncle passed away, and he was of this one faith. My brother got up, and he made some remarks. And he said, you know, we thank God that Uncle Sonny is now with the Lord, which is, you know, what we believe. But as soon as he got finished speaking, the pastor got right up. He didn't give my brother a chance to sit down. And he said, well, no, Uncle Sonny is not with the Lord. Uncle Sonny is in the grave waiting for the resurrection. You remember that, Emil? And I thought to myself, what hope is that? Knowing that your loved one is sleeping in the ground. Thank God because of Jesus, because he is the bread of life that gives eternal life, that when we die, we wake up in the presence of the Lord. We don't have to go through some kind of testing ground. We don't have to stay in the grave for 30 or 40 years until the resurrection. We, you know, the Bible says that when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we know that presence with the Lord is because Jesus is the bread of life. And if you eat of him, you shall never die. The third thing that we see is that the Lord's table is inseparably linked to life with God. The table of showbread was known as the bread of presence. It was known as the bread of presence. Whose presence? The priest's presence? Moses' presence? Aaron's presence? No, it was known as the presence of God. And watch this, that with God, there is fellowship and communion. That when you come into God's presence, there is fellowship and communion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 through 21, and I've kind of extracted the meat of this passage to relate to this subject. But notice what it says here. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That George and I, we had communion. And when we partook of the cup that represented the blood of Christ, when we partook of the bread that represented the body of Christ. And so when we have communion with God, he goes on to say, but I say, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice the devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot partake in the Lord's table and the table of devils. Why? Because this is communion. That when God is present in the bread. And when he's present in the bread, that we have fellowship and we have communion with him. Have you ever, there was a guy, and pray for him, Tom McGuff. He used to be a pitcher for the Cleveland Indians. And he was at Cornerstone Television. And he had a stroke, and so he's not been doing too good. He had to move out to Arizona and stay with his family. But Tom McGuff, let me tell you about this guy. This guy was the most energetic believer that I ever met. If you saw him, I remember he came to talk to me about going on television on Cornerstone TV. And so Bethany is on three times a week, right, on Cornerstone, the Faith and Family channel. And it's because of Tom McGuff. He came and he began to talk to me about Bethany coming on the Faith and Family channel. And when I pulled up to the church, he was over there in the parking lot. And so I pulled my car in front of the church. He got out of the car. He said, praise God, brother. And he came, man, he just came over and he had all this excitement and exuberance. I said, man, you got too much here, man. You know, man. I said, you need to tone that down a little bit, man. But you know what? That was who he was. He was like that all the time. And you know what? There was something that just energized you about being in his presence. That you couldn't be in his presence and not get excited about the Lord. Yet you couldn't be in his presence and not be excited about life. There was something that just energized you by being with him. And the Bible says that when we come to the table of the Lord and we eat the bread of the Lord, that the presence of the Lord is there, and there ought to be something there that just causes us to be energized. Whew. Man, we ought to walk, man, you know, sometimes, you know, we spend time with the Lord and we walk away looking like bulldogs baptized in lemon juice, right? You know, we walk away from there look like an advertisement for an iodine bottle, right? Man, you know, when we come into the presence of God, I'm not saying that all of our problems are going to be taken away. I'm not saying that all of our issues are going to be dealt with. No, that's not what I'm saying. But when we come into the presence of, man, there ought to be some kind of, there ought to be some kind of energy that you walk away from there with, right? And again, I'm not saying that you got to be a Tom McGuff, but you, man, there ought to be something that energizes you about being in the presence of the Lord. You know, I think of when I went to the Holy Land, one of the places that I wanted to see was Mount Hermon. And the reason I wanted to see Mount Hermon, because in Psalm 133, I have preached Psalm 133 so many times, and I wanted to see Mount Hermon. But Mount Hermon was way up north, and that was where a lot of the fighting and stuff was going on, so we couldn't go up to Mount Hermon. So we could only see Mount Hermon from afar. And so we drove as far as we could to see Mount Hermon. If you remember in Psalm 133, it talks about unity, and it talks about how unity is like the dew on Mount Hermon. And what does that mean? Well, if you go back and you study it, you'll see that Mount Hermon was basically a dry mountain. But at night, the dew would fall on parts of it, and it would bring to life the vegetation and the grass and the greenery. And you could see where the dew hadn't fell because it was still dry. And so one of the things that I'm reminded of about Mount Hermon is that it brings energy, that there's an energy, that there's a life that's brought there where the dew falls, where it's unlike any other. I come to the garden alone. While the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That there's an energy that we ought to get. There's a fellowship. There's a communion that we ought to get because we've been in the presence of God, because we've been before the face of God. And my fourth point is that the Word of God is the bread that sustains the spiritual life. The Word of God is the bread that sustains the spiritual life. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word, that word, the Greek word there is rhema. You know, there are two Greek words for the word. One is logos. And that deals with the whole revealed word of God, the Logos. But the word rhema refers to that word. That word that you get that's especially tailor-made for you. That word when you get down to your last dime, that word that says, I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That when you're going through a time of sickness, that there's that word that says that I am Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals you. That rhema word. And so Jesus says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that comes from the mouth of God. And that's why we got to be in the Word. And that's why we have to feast on the Word and the table of showbread. You know, it was interesting. Because even today, some places in the Jewish community, they still offer, they still have the table of showbread. And if you go into some of these places, they have the 10 loaves. And on one loaf, it's been torn off. And there's a piece that's torn off. And people that don't know, they'll go ask, well, how come there's not 10 whole pieces of bread? And they'll go back and say, well, you know, because a part of the bread was to be offered unto the Lord. And so they don't want to eat the part that's supposed to be offered to the Lord. And so they would tear it off. And so the priest would tear off a part of it and offer it to the Lord. But guess what?
the rest of it, they could go home and they could get down on it, right? I mean, they could just go home and they could enjoy the rest of it, but a part of it had been offered to the Lord. And so the part that they enjoyed gave them life and sustenance. And so the word of God, we've got to eat the word of God, get it into us so that, and I'm going to close with this. So that we can bring God with. Again, God is not waiting when we leave here today. He's not going to say, okay, well, let me set up shop till next Sunday when they show up. When you leave, God leaves. And when you come back, you bring God with you. And just think, if you've been eating on the feeding on the word of God all week long, and you let the word of God get into you, when you come back, man, you're going to bring God with you. There were four brothers who grew up in a particularly rough situation. Their mom did everything she could, to provide for them. And they all went to college, and they all did well, becoming doctors and lawyers. And they got together and said, you know, mom struggled to raise us. You know, we need to do something special for mom. And so the first one bought her a big house. The second one put a large theater in the house. The third one bought her a Mercedes SL600. And the fourth one said, well, you know, these are all great gifts, but let me buy mom something that is practical. And he knew that his mom loved the word of God. And he heard about this parrot that had memorized the whole Bible, and that the parrot could quote the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And he said, man, that would be a wonderful gift for mom. Let me give mom that. So the mom got all the gifts, and she began to send thank yous to her sons. The first one was Milton, and she said, I thank you for this house, but it's just too big for me to clean. She said to her second son, Marvin, who had this theater, she said, I'm getting old. I can hardly see. I can hardly hear. And most of my friends are dead, so, you know, I can't enjoy the theater with anyone. To her son, Michael, who bought her the Mercedes, she said that, I can't travel anywhere. You know, they took my license. I can't drive, so the car is not doing me any good. And she said to her son, Melvin, she said, you're the only one with good sense. You gave me something that I can use, and I just want to let you know that that chicken was delicious. Now, we laugh at that, right? But she got the word of God down in her. She got the word of God down in her. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Tabernacle, Altar of Incense, Part 1 from our series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. Like a copy of today's message, The Tabernacle, Table of Showbread, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Tabernacle, Table of Showbread. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Tabernacle, Table of Showbread, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.